Welcome to Episode 1 of the Open Sources Digest. My name is Scotty Hertz, one of the co-hosts of Open Sources, a weekly political and current affairs discussion show produced at CFRU 93.3 FM at the University of Guelph in Guelph, Ontario. On this edition of the Digest, co-host Adam A. Donaldson speaks to two of the workers behind the successful union organizing campaign at the Uptown Waterloo Starbucks in Waterloo, Ontario. This interview was originally broadcast on May the 18th, 2023.
Okay, so I'm now being joined by the two people who helped organize the Starbucks workers in Waterloo to unionize. So first, let me introduce Kale. Hello, Kale. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And second of all, there's Jamie. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank good. You for having me and Kale.
You're very welcome. So first, maybe we can each have you talk a bit about working at Starbucks, and we can start with, how long you've worked there. And also, can you talk a bit about what kind of like a day in the life of a Starbucks worker looks like? Because I feel like, and I was thinking about this today, as a Starbucks customer, I go in, I ask for my coffee, I see you guys run around and make it, I get my coffee, and then I either go to a table or I go to the patio or I go on my way. So, Kale, let's start with you. How long have you been working at Starbucks, and what's a day in the life like for you?
Yeah, I've been working for about 4 years now. And I think the one thing that might be different from like from a customer perspective versus a barista perspective is sort of like very flexible sort of thing. Like each day I'll be working a lot of different like roles. So each day is different from every other day, basically. So you got to be able to like adjust quickly on the fly and kind of do different things, not just making drinks, but also things that you don't think about, like taking out the garbage or cleaning and all these things.
Right. Jamie, how long have you been with Starbucks, and what do you feel like a day in the life is like for you?
I've been with Starbucks for 5.5 years, and to mirror Kale's sentiment, I would say, yeah, like in our perspective as like a barista, there's a lot of like finer parts moving behind the scenes that the customers don't get to see. So yeah, that flexibility piece of being able to be like taking the orders to now we have launched 2 delivery systems, being able to package those in a timely manner. We also deal with like in-store level, the cleanliness and operations standards as well. So we're the ones like doing deep cleaning daily, the bathrooms, as Kale said, the garbage, stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot of moving parts. And yeah, I don't know, I guess.
Fair enough. So Jamie, I'll throw this one to you first, since you're on my screen right now. What made you decide that you or what made you decide, I guess, first of all, as a Starbucks employee, why you wanted to unionize, and how did you end up being one of the organizers that got you and your fellow Starbucks workers unionized?
It kind of started just with like a couple of us. Like over a year ago, where it kind of sort of was like a little bit of a joke in the beginning.
like all great ideas.
Yeah. It was kind of a bit of a joke in the beginning. And we'd kind of seen like the momentum that the states were gaining with sort of like their successes down there. And sort of like just through talking together, we just kind of realized that like, hey, this, we could actually pursue this could actually be a thing. Kind of like some of the driving forces that came up for myself and like for others is sort of just like more consistency with like labor being allotted to the store, so we can better support our floor for like rushes, for example, when there are tons of people that come in at once, and also just kind of like more, I guess, like accountability from the company, like on a corporate level as well. Just sort of rounding back to the Uber thing I was saying, like that's brought in a lot of, it's been very successful for us. It's brought in a lot of business. So in order to have like adequate labor to support that new sort of channel, yeah, that's kind of some of the main ones.
Mm-hmm. And Kale, how did you get involved?
Yeah, well, like similar reasons to what Jamie said, but for me, this job, it's been hard at times, definitely, but what's kept me here for 4 years is like the people I work with. So the idea of being able to protect everybody or improve everybody's work day through a union has always appealed to me. But then it wasn't until I kind of saw things happen in the US at different stores that I realized it was actually possible. Mm-hmm. So like once we saw those, Jamie and I started talking, a few other people, and it went from being like kind of a vague idea to a real reality. And since then, it's just been kind of moving forward all the time.
Okay, then let's talk about the logistics then. When it goes from something you guys are talking about to you deciding that it's going to be something you're going to do. So where do you start? How do you start organizing a labor union? And Kale, I'll start with you.
That's the tricky part. it starts with being extremely mindful, I would say, as the company we work for has been shown to have a dislike, we might say, for organization efforts. So
right,
it starts with just talking to the people who it's really about feeling. So you have to find the people who you really think might be for it and also wouldn't be against it and want to tell everybody about it. So
right,
it started with like just feelings of feeling people out, having the conversations in a casual way when we have the chance, and like just spreading the word, but also keeping the word close, you know?
Right. Jamie, that sounds particularly complicated given, you know, what Kale said, that, you know, it's about the people you work with, right? And you like the people you work with. But, you know, union is sometimes a dirty word, even if people don't fully understand what that entails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like what Kale was saying too, like being mindful of who we're approaching at first, because there are a lot of misconceptions about union. And as you said, yeah, like some people definitely are like, no, I don't know anything about that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So it's kind of about approaching people on just like a human level, I find, and just letting them know, like, this is the information that I have that I can pass forward to you of like my research, and please feel free to do your own. And like, I definitely wasn't like, our organizing effort took like a year, if not maybe a little longer, because I found myself like not to be particularly aggressive. I just really didn't want to pressure anybody to think that I was like trying to coerce them into like this idea or like sell them on something. You know what I mean? I wanted them to come to the conclusion that for themselves, that this was something that they would want as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then can I ask how the other examples that you talked about, other examples in the United States, and of course, there are other, I almost said Walmart for some reason, same, but the other Starbucks in Canada, there are Starbucks in BC and Alberta who have unionized. Did you take any sort of inspiration from them as you started your efforts? Sorry, that was to Jamie to start.
Yeah, like it was definitely inspiring when BC first organized, and then it kind of trickled into Alberta. It became a little more self like actualized, where we were like, you know what, we can actually do this. If they're doing it out there, like it's spreading in Canada now. And also with your Freudian slip, yeah, Walmart should unionize too.
There's a lot of opportunities out there. And Kale, can you lend some insight in terms of how you guys ended up organizing under the United Steelworkers Union?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a confusing situation. We originally intended to work with the union representing the United States, Starbucks, which is Workers United. Mm-hmm. We spent about a year in discussion with them. They helped us kind of get through the organizing effort, and they're great. But then at the end of the day, we realized that the United Steelworkers had sort of like administration over Canadian Starbucks, or they claimed. So we had to, because they had previously done stores in BC and Alberta. So we had to switch to them, but that's still great for us. They had experience with Starbucks, and they were willing to work with us right away, get stuff going. So at the end of the day, steelworkers or Workers United, it's the same for us, and we're happy to just work with any organizers.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, it may be oddly metaphorical to have representation from the steelworkers. You probably needed nerves of steel, given that Walmart, Starbucks, as we previously indicated. I'm not sure why I'm thinking about Walmart today, but that's okay. But Starbucks, as we previously indicated, is not, shall we say, union friendly. So what happens when, because there is a point in time you have to let the head office know we're organizing. What were your concerns going into that?
It was definitely really nerve-wracking. I know that in the States, like, their labor laws are a lot different in the States. Like, specifically, a lot of states down there are at-will states. We don't have laws like that. So I just had to remind myself that it wasn't like everybody's just going to get fired left, right, and center for no reason. but, yeah, it was we kind of anticipated more presence, like corporate presence in our store, and we certainly got that. We had people like experts deemed from our like partner, to preface, partners are Starbucks employees. So we had experts from the partner relations sector of our corporate come down to sort of like talk to us if we wanted to, and to offer like information. But it was really muddled and confusing, and like both sides really weren't on the same page, and some things were said that were like not necessarily like forthcoming. A lot of backpedaling. it definitely scared some people, and stirred up a lot of uncertainty, which I kind of also think is like kind of like a little bit of the idea that they wanted to do. Yeah, and just like a general sense of feeling watched, which made myself and a lot of others feel uneasy. But honestly, we just really stuck together. We all were able to like support one another and be in contact with our union, and they were able to supply like relevant information, and then shared that amongst the partners. And yeah, we stuck together, and then it worked in our favor.
Mm-hmm. And Kale, how did you feel sort of working with, you know, the people who are running your store that, you know, may have felt trapped in the middle? They're the ones who answer to, you know, the corporate office. They're the ones, but you know, they're there every day with you guys who are doing the organizing effort. You know, how was the management relationship during this process?
That is a tough one. It's hard. It's definitely a situation that I can see both sides of, and I feel bad. Emotions were definitely running high. It's tough to be in that situation for sure, but the reality I think is we, due to the nature of the company we work for as response, we're not really able to have dialogues with the middle sort of level there.
Right.
As much as we'd like to on a personal level, it's
right.
There's a sort of barrier being put in by corporate with their experts, as Jamie mentioned, and people coming into the store. Right. But it's a difficult situation, and it's unfortunate that sometimes feelings get hurt and things happen that way.
Right. And Jamie, how about things now that, you know, the store is unionized? There is always a struggle, and there will be friction between, you know, the workers and the management at some point. But just, you know, now that all that hard work is over, what's life like at Starbucks these days?
Now that the dust is kind of settling, like today, we actually did receive our certification. So officially after today, everything, like the ball's going to get rolling much faster. But yeah, definitely now that the dust is settling, things kind of seem to be going a little bit more back to normal, and people are definitely accepting it now, and realizing that this is, you know, majority of staff at our store want this. I think our managers, like, as well, they're warming up to the idea. we can talk a little bit more freely now that everything is sort of like going through. So it's nice to be able to like connect again on that level, because the last thing that like I want, and I think for most people, like I know I don't necessarily want to divide like us versus them kind of thing. Like I still, I appreciate like our one-on-one relationship with our management, because you know, they know our situations well, and it's just nice to get along with your partners, regardless of their title. So yeah, the last thing I wanted was to cause a divide. And I feel like now it's kind of closing the gap a little bit more. Everybody just needed a little bit of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Kale, any response from some of the customers you serve? Any solidarity there?
Yeah, it's actually been, I was surprised. There's been quite a bit of congratulations, just people giving their regards. When looking on an online setting, I would say the responses are a little bit different. But luckily, none of those online haters, if you will, I haven't seen a single one actually come into the store. So
right.
The in-person at work, it's been a very positive response. Everybody is congratulatory.
And Jamie, from the corporate side, you mentioned, I won't call them union busters, but that's kind of the feeling one gets. At the very least, they're the muddy the water. How do you think, you know, given that as we've been saying, the dust has settled at the store, is the dust settling from your point of view with, you know, are the union busting efforts at your store kind of over now, is so you can focus on just the everyday labor issues?
Yeah, it appears to be at our store. I know that behind the scenes, they have to do a lot of meetings with each other, the union and like our district manager and things, just to sort of get things like all on the same page. So there's like stuff going on behind the scene, but in terms of feeling like watched or any sort of like fears of like punitive action, like I don't necessarily feel like that anymore. I know for a while though that during our like voting process and waiting for certification, there were other upper management people at other stores in our district kind of doing the same thing, like wanting to talk to these stores. They weren't stores that necessarily wanted to unionize that we heard of. I think they were just sort of that's like their contingency plan of going in and hoping that they get their word in first, so others don't get the idea to do what we did.
Right.
I think the managers have laid off at other stores as well for the time being, but yeah, I'm not entirely sure about that. But for our perspective, I think it's going back to normal now.
Good, good, good. I want to address that part of it, though. I think from both sides, for Starbucks itself, there's the concern that unionization is catching. But I think probably from the union side, they also want unionization to catch. So I'll start with you, Kale. Is that something you're kind of hoping comes out of this example, that, you know, maybe other Starbucks workers and at other Starbucks locations find the temerity in themselves to unionize, using your example?
Yeah, absolutely. When we were working at the beginning with the Workers United, they made a big point about this being sort of a movement more than just each of our stores. And I would have to agree with that. I hope personally that this spreads to more Starbucks, and not just Starbucks, just to a bigger labor movement in general. Employees at non-traditional organized jobs, like finding the courage to do this and try and improve their situations, because it feels like that's the only way things will improve, is from the bottom up.
Right, right, right. And Jamie, do you feel the same?
I do feel the same. Yeah. I really hope that, like, despite the like corporate's best efforts, that they can see that us here in Waterloo, Ontario, we like prevailed against the odds, and that is hopefully inspiring to others who are thinking about organizing or, you know, not entirely sure where to start. So,
right. I want to throw this out to the two of you. You're obviously way too young to remember the 1980s, but there was that feeling in at that time with the rise of neoconservatism that, you know, unions were over. It was the era of business. And if you weren't an appendage of business, than, you know, you were, you know, out, I guess, essentially. But there has been this movement in the last few years about going back to organized labor, and it has been sort of youth driven. So, I mean, talk about, and I'll start with you, Jamie, just talk a bit about your feelings about the value of organized labor and why this is like personally so important to you and important to people of your generation.
That's a good question. I do have a lot of feelings about this. I think that like corporate America has sort of been running the show, for lack of a better term, for so long. We see costs of inflation going up and wages are stagnant. And it's basically impossible for like us, like Gen Z millennials, to get ahead at all. There's a lot of rhetoric that goes around too, probably from, I guess, the 80s, what you were saying of like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, work really hard and you'll get there. But like, that's just not the dream. That just can't happen anymore. It's impossible. There's so many variables and factors going on in like our economy right now that it's just impossible for regular people like me and Kale and for a majority of Canadians, even abroad too, that like, I think the power that people have collectively of like amplifying our voices through union that have resources that we don't have access to makes these corporations stop for a second and think that, you know, we are more than just a number and we're more than just sort of like generating profits for shareholders kind of thing. And to kind of take our demands a little bit more seriously. We're not being unrealistic. You know, we want security. We want stability. We want accountability. Like, I don't think those are a lot to ask for. So yeah, it's just, I really hope that others kind of take inspiration from our lead and speak up as well, because it's great that our store is like, you know, the first one in Ontario, but I really hope more stores follow our lead. I hope that other corporate stores follow our lead, like Walmart, for example, anybody. I think it's about time for us regular people to like reclaim that power, or at least some of it.
Kale, anything to add?
Yeah, just those are great comments on a wide scale, just to bring it to like a Starbucks sort of level, I guess. I just want to say, like, I think the Starbucks campaign a lot of the time makes us seem like we're anti-Starbucks,
right?
By doing this. But in reality, I mean, this company's done a lot for me. And I've spent a good chunk of my life, I've basically grown up working at Starbucks. And even if, like, issues aside in the workplace, even with the best employer out there, I think it's still, there's value in being able to negotiate for yourself, have representation, and have an equal seat with your employer, even if they're a great employer.
Right.
Which Starbucks a lot of the time is a great employer. We just want to hold them accountable to live up to the values that they speak for.
Right. You're not organizing because you hate the place. You're organizing because you love it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe for a last word, and I'll start with you, Kale, since you're on my screen. Just, you know, if there's anyone, I guess, I was going to say young person, but it doesn't have to be a young person, but anyone who's like feeling that they want to organize and they want to stand up for their labor rights and they're unsure how to begin, what's kind of like your best piece of advice?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the best thing to start with is just talk to people you work with. It all starts from the bottom up, just having conversations and realizing that it's scary and it can definitely be inconveniencing. But we have very strong laws in this country that support this unionization. Regardless of how the public sentiment is, our laws haven't changed. They're still quite strong. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the worst that can happen is you fail. The best that can happen is you change your workplace entirely. So,
and Jamie, you get the last word.
I agree with everything. Yeah, I don't really have much more to add than, yeah, that. Sorry.
That's all right. Ditto is a perfectly acceptable word used at our city council all the time. But Jamie and Kale, thank you so much for coming on our show and talking about organizing. And congratulations on getting it done. I think a lot of people are looking at you guys as positive examples of fighting out for labor rights right now. So thanks again for coming on and best of luck going forward.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, so once again, that was Jamie and Kale. If you go to Uptown Waterloo Starbucks this weekend, tell them Open Sources sent you. And
no discount, though.
There's no discount. No, there's no discount. Just, you know, I'm sure they'd like to hear that they were heard on the radio and that fellow labor supporters want to show them some solidarity. I think they'd appreciate it.
That idea is spreading. I think we're going to see more of that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's true. It can be done. Unfortunately, that is it for this week's show. We hope you liked it. You can stay connected to us on our website, opensourcesguelph.com. We're on Facebook at Open Sources Newswire, and we're on Twitter at @OS_Guelph. If you would like to listen to our show again, you can download it from our website every Monday at the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or through your favorite app at Apple, Stitcher, Google, TuneIn, and Spotify. You can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can check out my news and politics site at guelphpolitico.ca.
I'm Scotty Hertz at Facebook, Twitter, and Mastodon.
CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. And come back and listen to us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. for another edition of Open Sources, and we will see you then. We'll be right back.